Amen. You may be seated. Happy Friday. Woo! Only a few more Fridays in February, making our way to March. I want you to open up your Bibles or your smartphones to James chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. You can find it on page 981 of your Pew Bibles. James chapter 3, 1 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships, though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and sea creatures can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My wife Melody is a third grade teacher in the Hamilton Public Schools. And almost every day after she gets home from school, Melody and I take a walk and we rehearse our days with each other. And sometimes when I'm listening to Melody talk about her third graders at Sandy View Elementary School, my mind flashes back to my own third grade days at Ottawa Elementary School with Mrs. Beeler. I remember each day putting in black marker on my hand, CP, for cootie protection. Do you remember that? Cootie protection meant that if a girl touched me that day, her cooties could not be transferred to me because I had cootie protection on. I think third grade was the last year I put CP on my hand. I also remember playing King of the Hill at recess, and I remember all the foolish phrases and lines that we would exchange with each other in third grade. Like if two students kind of liked each other, I don't know if you guys did this, we would taunt them unmercifully with this, Paul and Melody sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes Paulina. Yeah, well, who made that up, man? That's wacko stuff. Or I remember the line, if somebody was like teasing you or dogging you that you were ugly or dumb, you'd say, I know you are, but what am I? Remember that one? Or how about the line we all used or has been used on us? I think the most foolish one of all. Sticks and stones, but have you ever stopped and really reflected what you just said? It's a half-truth, isn't it? I mean, sticks and stones will break your bones, depending on how big the sticks and stones are. But words do hurt, don't they? And sometimes they can hurt us very deeply. Our text this morning tells us that our words and our tongues have the power to bless, to build up, to heal, as well as the power to curse, to destroy, and to inflict great pain. With this in mind, I want us to explore three things together this morning regarding our words and our tongues. For those of you who like outlines, here it is. Number one, what does it mean to have an evil tongue? Number two, where does an evil tongue come from? And three, how do we allow our tongue to be transformed? First, what does it mean to have an evil tongue? The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 says this, Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for the building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. Paul was a good Jew, and may have been referring to a Hebrew term that was common in first century known as Lashon Hara, meaning evil tongue. It was most often used for gossip, but included lying, slander, spreading rumors, sarcastic comments, or speaking half-truths of others with the intent to deceive or manipulate. It would seem that some of our current presidential candidates were trained in the school of Lashon Hara. Did you catch that? Yes. And James tells us in verse 8 that an evil tongue, a Lashon Hara, is full of deadly poison, which can bring about great harm and injury and even the death of a person's reputation. So where does an evil tongue come from? Jesus reveals in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 34, that out of the overflow of our heart, the mouth speaks. Let me say it again. Out of the overflow of our heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus is saying that our tongues reflect the condition of our hearts. And throughout the Bible, a person's heart was defined as either hard and stony or soft and fleshy. Listen to what God says through the prophet Ezekiel. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. You see, in the Bible, when a person was identified as having a hard and stony heart, it meant that there was a level of stubbornness, of callousness, of closed-heartedness. And most often, these individuals were harboring a great deal of hurt and pain and insecurity themselves. And from that heart of pain and hurt and insecurity, they often thrust it out at others with their words like a sword. It's been said, and I believe it's true, that hurting people tend to hurt others. Hurting people tend to hurt others. And one of the most common ways in which we do that is through our words and our tongue. I remember counseling a Hope College student who had just lost her father to cancer. And there was no question that she was hurting and hurting deeply, but she kept complaining about a certain friend who just didn't seem to care enough. She kept running her friend down. Her deep hurt and pain was causing her to lash out at her friend. And when I pointed that out to her, she paused, and then she quickly acknowledged that I was right. And in reality, her friend had been a great support. You see, we are tempted to lash out at others with our tongue. And when we do that, we need to ask the question, what is going on inside of me? Where is that pain and anger and hurt coming from? Is it from feeling that you're being rejected, or the feeling of being abandoned or misunderstood or ignored, or feeling that you're never good enough? Our desire to unleash an evil tongue comes out of the overflow of our hard and stony hearts, which most often is a result of a deep hurt and pain in our lives. And to cope with that pain and hurt, we often inflict pain on others through our words. But there's a better way. And the better way is to allow God to do heart surgery on us. If we turn back to the text from Ezekiel, we hear God say again, a new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove from your body the heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. God, through his Son Jesus, takes our stony, hard hearts and replaces them with a heart of flesh, a heart that is soft, a heart that is pliable, a heart that is moldable, a heart that is teachable to God and his ways, which in turn nurtures not an evil tongue, but a generous tongue, a tongue that realizes its purpose is to create and to give life, just like God himself, who in the beginning created and gave life, not by snapping his fingers, but by speaking. And God said, and it was so, and it was good. A good friend of mine who recently has come back to God after many years of wandering told me that the first real evidence of change in his life was manifested in two ways. First, in his tongue and his words. He told me that almost immediately his use of profanity and vulgar language was considerably reduced. And second was in the way he looked at others. Before coming back to God, he viewed everyone negatively and with suspicion. He saw others as either a threat or as a comparison. But now he looks at others in much more of a positive light, seeing others as friends or supporters and partners for the journey of life. So what's the condition of your heart right now? Your tongue and your speech will give you a pretty good read where you're at. If or when you sense that your heart is getting pretty hard or stony, I want to encourage you not to contact the Myers Heart Center in Grand Rapids, that's a joke, but allow, but allow God to do his transforming work in you. And here's a good way to begin, a really practical way to begin. I'd encourage you to begin to pray the prayer of King David in Psalm 51. Or even better yet, you could sing a portion of that prayer with me even right now. Do you know it? It goes like this. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Let's pray. God, use our tongues to bless rather than to curse, to build up rather than to destroy, to heal rather than injure. Let it be so even today, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.